For our scripture lesson this morning, we turn to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He offers a grain offering as if he offers swine blood. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But they shall be ashamed. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. That's as far as we read. Notice with me especially the words of verse 2, the second part. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this coming week, each one of you must answer a very important, a very significant question. The question is this: Who may come? Who may come to the Lord's table, which is prepared by the elders? Who may remember the death of Jesus Christ, who died that we might have life and have it more abundantly? And interestingly enough, the question is answered already by the Old Testament prophet. You and I have just read together the answer that the prophet gives to the question, who may come? Listen, boys and girls. Listen, young people. Listen, adults. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. So there are three things that we must look at this morning. And the first one is this: on him who is poor. And we've got to notice immediately that the prophet is not talking about the person who is poor in material possessions. He's not speaking of the person who has little to his name. The prophet is not speaking of the person here who is dependent upon others for his support. The word poor can better be translated humble. I remember so well that when I was in high school, and that's over 60 years ago, that at Grand Rapids Christian, we were required to read the words of Uriah Leap. Maybe some of you remember him too. He was a man who went around saying, I am so humble, I am so humble. In other words, Uriah Heep took pride in the fact that he was humble. The prophet Isaiah is not of such a mind. He is talking rather about the person who is truly humble, the person who realizes that he has been created, that he has been created by none other than God Himself, who made him in His own image. But the person who is truly humble is the person also who realizes that he has fallen into sin, that he's guilty of breaking God's commandments, that he's has lost the image in which he was made. And so he realizes that the second thing that we have to notice from our text applies to him. Who may come to the Lord's table? The person who is poor, who is humble, who realizes that he is nothing in himself, that he has not merited the privilege of coming to the Lord's table because he is a, or because she is a sinner, because he or she is of a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit. Earlier this morning, we read the Ten Commandments. You followed, didn't you, as we read the Ten Commandments? I'm sure that many of the boys and girls and all of the young people here know the Ten Commandments by heart. Those commandments teach us that as our fathers and our grandfathers used to say, we have broken them in thought, in word, and in deed. And we are truly sorry for our sins. We realize that Jesus Christ had to leave the glory of heaven and come to this sin-cursed earth in order to pay for our sins. This week we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving Day, we're going to remember, aren't we, the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that no greater blessing could be given to us than the blessing of salvation. And we're going to apply that to our own heart and to our own lives. That's what it means to be of a contrite spirit, to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior from sin. No, not only the Savior from sin, but He is my Savior from sin. He has died to set me free from the curse of sin and of unrighteousness. And so, who may come to the Lord's Supper? The person who is humble, who recognizes that he or she is a sinner, who recognizes that Jesus Christ is the only Savior from sin, the only one who has satisfied the Father, who has reconciled us to God the Father. And there is a third thing, who trembles at my word. Did you hear that, boys and girls? Did you hear that, young people? Did you hear that, adults? Who trembles at my word. That's not the preacher's word. That's not the elder's word. That's not your parents' word. That's not your grandparents' word. That's not your teacher's word, if you are one of those who go to school. But that is God's word. Who trembles at my word. Who trembles at God's word. Because you see, God speaks with authority, doesn't He? If you've done any reading lately, you know that God's creatorship is in question once again. And you and I, from the youngest to the oldest, know that God created the heavens and the earth. that God just spoke. He just spoke. And the thing that he ordered came into existence. And God is the one who orders the floods. We've been very mindful, haven't we, of the flooding out east caused by Hurricane Sandy. But boys and girls, you remember, don't you, that in the days of Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights? Why did it rain so long in those days? Because God gave the word. That's the word that is referred to in our scripture passage. And you remember, don't you, the boys and girls, young people and adults, that the Red Sea opened for the children of Israel to pass through. It opened because God spoke. And God gave the word. And now you and I must be filled with awe at the fact that God speaks. That God called into being the world in which we live. That God called into being the flood which destroyed the world in Noah's day. But that God also called into being the flood that Sandra caused out west. That God opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel to pass, and he closed it again to destroy the armies of Egypt. God speaks with authority, and you and I must speak. Because God not only speaks with authority, he speaks with conviction. You remember, don't you, boys and girls, young people and adults, that God spoke out of a burning bush at one time? And what did he say to Moses? Take your sandals off your feet, because the ground on which you are standing is holy ground. And you remember that Moses said, "Here am I, Lord." Moses was brought under conviction because God spoke. And you and I, who prepare for the Lord's Supper, must be brought under conviction because God speaks to us. And he convicts us that we are sinners. Remember what God spoke when he gave the Ten Commandments? And what did the people do? They trembled, didn't they? And they asked God not to speak to them. But they asked that God would speak through Moses. Because God's word filled their hearts with fear. And so it must be with you and me. We must tremble when God says to us that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name Jesus. That's good news, but that's also fearsome news. That means if anybody is trusting in anyone other than the Lord Jesus for his or her salvation, he or she is lost. Jesus Christ, the one whose death we are called to remember next Sunday, the Lord willing, is the only one through whom there is salvation. We must be like Saul. Remember what happened to Saul as he was on the road to Damascus? I'm sure, boys and girls, you remember too, don't you? He heard a voice. And what did Saul do? He fell to the ground. And he was blind. And he cried out, "Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do?" And so as you and I prepare to come to the table of the Lord next week to remember what Christ has done for us. We must be under conviction. We must be humble. We must be contrite. We must tremble at the Word of God, because God speaks with clarity and He makes known His will for our lives. You listened, didn't you, as the Ten Commandments were read? And in those commandments, God reveals His will for our lives. Nothing else. He doesn't say that He approves of same-sex marriage. He doesn't say that He approves killing the unborn in the mother's womb. But He tells us what His will is. Even as He spoke to Moses so many years ago. Remember, the people of Israel were thirsty and they cried out to Moses for water. And God told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come. Well, Moses was angry. And instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. And God came to Moses with His judgment, because God's word was plain, was simple to understand. And Moses let his own will get in the way. And he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And so Moses was not permitted to see the promised land. You remember what happened when God commanded the Amalekites to be killed? And Saul said, he spared the king, and he spared the best of the flocks, and he spared the best of the herds, and the best of the cattle. And God said, no way, no way. I have made known to you My will, and I expect you to obey My will. And because you have not obeyed My will, you too will come under punishment. You see, God expects us to tremble at His word. That means you and I must be careful to obey it, to live according to it, to do what God commands us to do. When God speaks to us, we must be ready to respond. God called Adam, remember? Adam thought he could hide from God after he had disobeyed God. And God called him, and what did Adam do? He responded, "Where art thou, Lord? Where art thou, Lord?" The same way with Cain. Remember, Cain had killed his brother Abel? And Cain thought he could hide from God. And God said to Cain, "Your brother's blood cries out to Me." And David, though he lived in his sin for a time, finally has to be reminded, as God says to him, "Thou art the man." And so, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, as we ask the question, who may come, we are reminded that only those may come who have heard God's voice, and who have responded to Jesus Christ, and who have said, "I am a sinner, forgive me, cleanse me. I know that the blood was shed on Calvary to give me eternal life." And so we ask the question once again, Who may come? The person who is humble, the person who is contrite, who acknowledges that he or she is a sinner, the person who seeks to obey God, to do God's will, to follow God. For you see, congregation, you and I are reminded that God is not mocked. His word either calls us to repentance or sends us away hardened in our sin. God grant that each one of us who are present today may be called to repentance, may truly be of a contrite heart, may truly say, Lord Jesus, Thou art my Savior. Let us pray together. O Lord, our God, we are so grateful that Thou hast not left us in our sin, but that Thou hast looked down upon us in mercy, and Thou hast given Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, to suffer and die, to shed His blood, that we might know cleansing from all unrighteousness. We pray that Thou wilt be with us in this coming week, that Thou wilt be with us as boys and girls, as young people, as adults, that Thou wilt help us to be prepared to come to Thy house next week, to observe what Jesus has done for us, to partake of the Lord's Supper. And if there are any here who are not ready, then we pray, Father, that Thou wilt give unto them a restless week, a week in which they are brought under conviction of sin, and under which they realize their need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that Thou wilt hear us for His sake alone. Amen.